right. Well, welcome to part one of a new series entitled Closer. And before we get started, I just want to, again, welcome you all here. And also, we've got a kind of started something sort of grassroots here that's new to our church. And that is we've been having these services live streamed. And so I would just like to welcome all those that are online today to Cross Point. We're glad that you joined us today. We're going to have an awesome time together. And so I also want to give a shout out to our dream team that's doing a phenomenal job, all of our leaders, and especially want to give a shout out to those leaders that really took part in the series Life Story. Did anybody enjoy Life Story series? Telling you what, somewhere in the middle of that, God just began to change the culture of this church in a phenomenal way, and so excited about it. In fact, I was down at the end of the service, one of the services, and I looked around and I just saw how, I could just sense how people were connecting to God and also to each other. And it occurred to me, oh my goodness, we have a new church here and just a healthy, healthy culture. And it's interesting, as I compared notes with Pastor Steve, he had a moment. We were not standing at the same spot, but we were kind of in the same vicinity. And later we compared notes and he expressed the same thing to his wife that, things have changed. This is a new church here. I want to just say, it is so refreshing just to see how God is using the body. It's never supposed to be about one man, only that one man being Jesus. Together we are the body of Christ, and so excited to see how God used everyone. We had Steve Guptill and Taylor Moden and Dwayne Stone and Heather Singley and Jordan, Jordan Garza, I don't have it written down here. I got it. Karen Stone and Theron Jr. Hobbs, yes. And so had a phenomenal just lineup. Wasn't that just powerful? And so I just want to say, by the way, five of those seven, it was their first time ever speaking. That's something, isn't it? And I think maybe a couple of those may have been only a few times themselves. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just so thankful that God is just raising up leaders. And the joy I had was just being able to sit down with some of those and just have the opportunity just to pour into them and just see what God does through them. It's just been really exciting. And I tell you, this season of the year, you know, we go through different seasons in our life. And also there are different seasons of the year. I think God did that on purpose because He knew that we needed seasons. I like it that God gives us variety. I think we're in a beautiful place in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we have a lot of variety that we have, the four seasons. But there are seasons also of our life. And just to kind of reflect, and if you'll give me just a couple minutes before I get into the message here, because, you know, we haven't gotten to connect in a while, so I'm just going to reconnect with you if that's all right. But we just came through a phenomenal season. We kind of started with a staff retreat that we had. Some of our staff together, and we just had a weekend together, just some phenomenal time of enrichment and planning some great things. We've got actually some things coming up that came up out of that. We're going to have a retreat an event. I'll call it an event for our dream team that's happening in October, those that are serving, those that are leading. If that sounds exclusive, it is exclusive. But yet it's all inclusive because you can be a part of the team. And so how do I get to be a part of that? Well, just come to Growth Track today. Get on the Growth Track and we'll just take you through a journey and help you get plugged in and be a part of the team. You can do that today actually by coming to Church 101 right after the service and we'll get you started. Today's the best day to start the Growth Track. And even if this is your first time, you can jump on the wheel today. It's just 4 weeks, just four Sundays consecutive right after church. We're going to feed you. You got to eat anywhere. It's just it's an easy choice, okay? And so we've tried to make it very convenient for you. But then we went from that retreat, went into the summer. We had, I'm telling you, the best, without a doubt. I believe it was the best a small group semester in the history of our church this summer. And I just got to say hats off to Pastor Steve and all those small group leaders that led. Come on, let's give it up for them. Phenomenal job, concluded with Serve Day, one of the best Serve Days that I believe that we have ever had as we had just teams going out impacting our community and making a difference. And then a couple weeks ago, we took some other leaders, just a small group of us, to a leadership intensive where we just got recharged and also just learned some new things to implement. You're going to be hearing more about that as we go into this next season of the fall. We had a phenomenal, our conclusion to the event is not the event itself, but it's getting in a hotel room and praying over all that we've been receiving, praying and discussing and debriefing all the notes from the labs we went to, and then just praying over that. And I'm telling you, that was an awesome, I wish you all could have been there. We went till midnight, and God just moved in a powerful way. Our team just began to open up, pour out each other, pray for each other, praying for you guys. I mean, and you're going to hear more what's coming out of that. And so that was just actually a week ago, and then that was in Alabama. And then this past week, I had a little vacation from that and went came back here. Then we went back out to Florida and got my son, my younger son, that's been spending a month with his grandparents. And then we drove him back to Myrtle Beach, where he's on a band retreat with his school. And so he's not back yet. And then Kim, Friday. We drove from Florida to Myrtle Beach and back here. And so my tongue's hanging out this morning, and I know maybe yours is too. I know summer is just full and packed, and we have vacations, and sometimes you need a vacation from the vacation. I get that. But God takes us through different seasons of our life. And so, and there's also those seasons, I believe, especially at a time just like right now, that God will take us as a shepherd does through a spiritual journey and bring us to still waters. You know, have you read Psalm 23? And it'll take us to a place of still waters where we can rest and we can be still and where we can get closer to the shepherd. And so, and part of that is very strategic. That's what we're going to do right now for the next 3-4 weeks. We're going to just really spend time just getting closer to God. That's the purpose for the 21 days of prayer. You know, sometimes we just kind of get all busy and really not connected like we need to be with God because we've got all these activities. So this is going to be a season, folks, where we're getting close to God, but also it's going to prepare us for the season to come, which is the fall. The fall is always a harvest season. Don't know why, but you can look. A lot of times that's where more people come to Christ in the fall. So we're going to be doing a new series starting in September that I want to encourage you to invite your friends to. Everybody say invite.
Invite.
Say it again.
Invite.
Say it one more time.
Invite.
I'm just trying to embed it in your DNA, man. Invite, invite, invite. That's what I emphasize in the growth track, those of you that have been through that. And if you invite them, here's what we're going to do. We're going to really just deliver some messages, of course, that are life-giving. And it's really going to help people know God and connect with Him in a very intimate and powerful way. And so we want to encourage you, if you'll bring them, and I always tell people, if you bring your friends, I guarantee you one thing, we're going to respect them, we're going to honor them, we're going to treat them with dignity, we're not going to embarrass you, we're going to do everything we can just to make it easy to point them to Jesus, right? And so that their life can be changed forever. So that's happening this fall. We're going to be talking about fresh air and how when we know God, He's just like a breath of fresh air. And so I want to encourage you for that. And in October, we're going to get into a series, You Asked For It, which is based upon some responses from you as to what you would like to hear from God's Word. And so it's just going to be a great time. I won't go on through the rest of the year, but I want us to prepare ourselves. And so that's why we're doing these 21 days of prayer that you heard about. I want to encourage you. That really starts today because we have prayer this morning at the church, and we have prayer here every Sunday at 9:30. You can join us for that if you like. But then also during the week, we encourage you to go online. If you can't go online live at that time, then you can do that anytime during that day because, again, as Theron pointed out in the video, that those messages will be archived just for 24 hours, and they'll pick up the next one, okay? And so you just go to our website. Theron's got the information there for you. You can look at, and they'll be able to orient you as to how you can connect with those services. And they're 1 hour. They're just for 1 hour, so we're going to respect your time, and then and go on with your day. But then on Saturdays, we'll join here live. Encourage you to do that. And because the goal is that we want to get closer to God. And so let me just transition right into this message here today. And I've even titled this, this message is entitled Closer. And so here's the truth. We all worship something. We all worship something. I encourage you, if you want to take notes this morning, by the way, notes are back. Notes are back, all right? So we got message notes in your worship guide. Also, if you don't know this, there are binders on the connection table. You can grab one of those after the service and collect message notes. And that's yours. You've already paid for it. It's yours. It belongs to you. There's no charge for that. And you can be collecting these message notes to follow along with us. But this is not in your notes, but we all worship something. And so this series is going to be a little bit challenging. It's going to be a little challenging. But I think it's good that sometimes we get our toes stepped on, and mine too, that we need to kind of take some inventory and see where we are in our relationship with the Lord. And here's the thing. We all worship something. You were created to worship. You and I were created to worship. And so something is going to get your adoration. Fact is, you are worshiping something. It's just a question as to what you really are worshiping. There's something that is really getting your adoration or your attention. And so worship is our response. What is worship? Worship is our response to what we value most. And so the question would be, what do you really value the most? I mean, what do you value? It could be you that you value the most. It could be your job, or it could be sports, or it could be shopping. It's something that you value the most. And here's the thing. God doesn't mind you having other things and for you to enjoy other things other than Him. But He does have a problem when those things are put above Him. Because we were created, first and foremost, to worship and bring glory and honor to God. So the question really is then, it's okay to have other things, but is God at the top of your list? And whatever you are worshiping, here's the thing. Here's why we got to be careful with this. Whatever you are worshiping, you become obsessed with it. When you begin to worship something, you actually become obsessed with it. And you then, after you become obsessed with it, you begin to imitate it. And after you begin to imitate it, you become that thing. And so the question would be, what am I becoming? And if you don't like what you're becoming, then perhaps we need to take inventory and see really who is sitting on the throne of our heart. The Bible actually talks about this, about when God is replaced by other things. It talks about this, and I like to call this the not-so-great exchange. The not-so-great exchange. In other words, God should be at the top of the list, but instead other things that get shifted and other things begin to be on top of the list instead of God. The not-so-great exchange. Look at Romans chapter 1 that says this, and for although they knew God, now look at this, these are people that were professing Christians, professing to actually have a relationship with God, says this, although they knew God, at that point they knew who He was, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So in other words, God didn't have the right place. They weren't thankful for Him. He was there. He was on their list, but really wasn't at the top of the list. And so things began to really change. And it says that although they claimed to be wise, God, we know what's best for us. I know Your word says this, but I don't think that's really working for me today. So I'm going to try something else, and I'm going to try another way. And if that's your case today, you're saying, I know what's best for me, and I could figure this out. I got a better way. I would just ask the question, how's that working out for you? I mean, really, how is that working out? So it says that they became fools. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools. And look at this, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings. Now, this is what they did back in those days, to look like birds and animals and reptiles, to which you may be saying, it's okay, Pastor, I don't have a reptile image that I'm worshiping in my house. Okay, but so I'm good on this. Well, not so fast, because your images may look a little bit different in 2016, right? You may be worshiping something else, but it's something that you're giving value to. It may be money. It may be something, but something different that you are so obsessed with, it becomes the first thing on your list. And so what does that look like? Let me take you through some things that looks like. And it talks about through here about having an exchange. So there is, look at this, there is a substitution that happens. Write that in your notes. It's a substitution that happens. So we substitute. No longer is God at the top of the list, but now, and I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe different things. For you, it may be golf. It may be, don't want to go here, it's coming up on that season, but football, right? Nothing wrong with football. Football's okay. You can enjoy football. But where is it on your list? And you say, well, no, football. Football, Pastor, that's not my God. Right? Really? Yeah. It's all over your car. Your God is all over your car and on your T-shirts. And, I mean, you know, hey, it's not my... Come on, I'm just talking to myself here. You know, it's not on my car, but, you know, there's times when Florida State's playing. It's just... And sometimes I have to catch myself when I'm in the house yelling at that television set. Do I come up to this level on Sunday mornings? Right? And so... I mean, so it could be different things. So it's whatever you're continually thinking about. Again, God doesn't mind you enjoying other things, but it becomes a problem when it's placed higher than Him. He said, you know, so love those things. It's fine, but it can't be more love for that than it is for God. And so really, I mean, Sunday mornings, I challenge myself here. Sunday mornings, oftentimes Saturdays look more like the book of Psalm. You've heard me say this. Than Sunday does. I mean, we got it going on we on Saturdays, right? Right? I mean, we're just all in. And then on Sundays, well, you know, I mean, right? We need to be clapping. We need to be cheering God. We need to be praising God because He is the object of our greatest worship. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says this, "Do not follow other gods, the god of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God." Now, that's a good kind of jealousy. It's a jealousy because He loves you and He wants what's best for you. And so this is God saying, I saw you Saturday worshiping your team. Man, I wish you'd worship me like that. Come on. I really wish, I'm jealous for that worship. I wish you were that into me. Or whatever it is that you're into. Maybe it's not football. Maybe it's something different than that. But I wish you'd worship me like that. He's a jealous God. And so another area then, not only substitution, but pride. Pride. Just things that keep us from worshiping God and keeping God from being the top of our list. So, there's pride there. Worrying about what people think. Right? It's Sunday morning where it's, you know, we're there. We showed up, but it's kind of the right over left, you know, the groomsman pose. I don't know how many songs they're going to sing today. Be glad when they're through. Because here's the thing, we're afraid of what somebody next to us may think. We're afraid of what they may think of us if we raise our hand, you know, if we do that hand thing. You know? But here's the thing, it's amazing how we can be so concerned about what people think and not concerned about what God thinks. John chapter 12 says this, "Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Something to think about. Something to check ourselves on. Another area is hedonism. Now, you may know what this is, especially in our society. Hedonism is the belief that pleasure or happiness is the goal of life. And so you base your life on how it feels. If it feels good, you do it. You don't have morals, you have feelings. You don't have choices, you have feelings. And so you say, hey, don't judge me. That's how I feel, right? And so it's not a good way to live your life. Feelings cannot be trusted. And there's nothing wrong with feelings. Feelings are wonderful. It's wonderful to come into a church service and feel the presence of God. But a feeling is not the goal. I need to stress that in church. We are not here to give people a feeling. We are here to give God the worship He deserves, whether we feel like it or not. Amen? That's a good place for an amen right there. So here's how it plays out. Well, I don't like that song. I'll wait for the next one. I can't. I really hate that song. I wish That song irritates me. I mean, I got my song. I'll wait till it rolls around. Or we say, I got to wait till those lights settle down a little bit before I can worship. But here's the thing. The song ain't for you. And the lights aren't for you. The purpose of these lights and the purpose of the song is that we use everything at our disposal, everything in His house, to bring glory and to bring honor and to bring worship to Him, because He's worthy. We want everything shouting praise to God. We want lights shouting praise to God. Come on. We want everything. We want the computers shouting praise to God. We want everything shouting. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't have breath. Well, the Bible says if we don't praise Him, even the rocks will cry out. Come on, even the lights will cry out. So let's get with the lights and let's get with the song and let's give God the praise that He's due. Come on. I haven't preached in 7 weeks. Hebrews chapter 13 and 15 says this: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly confess His name. And say, well, I'm not a singer. I don't want to express my lips, and that would be a sacrifice. And sometimes it's a sacrifice. We're doing what we're not comfortable with, but what God asked for. I didn't create this. I didn't come up with this. It was in the psalm that says, clap your hands, all people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Come on, sing joyfully a new song. I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. I didn't create this. If God said, stand on my head and twirl like a top, if that's what He likes, I'm going to do it. Now, He didn't say do that, so you don't have to do that. But I'm just saying, whatever He said, if that's what He receives, if that's what He likes, not about what I like, I'm going to give Him because He's worthy. And it may be a sacrifice. It may be a sacrifice where you say, well, that's not my personality. Yeah, but what if it's God's personality? What if God likes it? Right? I need to speak His love language. I need to find out how to express love to my wife in her love language. That's acts of service around my house. I don't know what it is around your house. But you need to find out what God loves. Read the Bible. That's what He says. That's how to worship Him. So we're going to speak His love language. Not about whether it feels good, but we're going to offer a sacrifice. All right, look at the next thing that oftentimes keeps God off the top of our list, and that's, you'll like this made-up word, spectatorism. You like that? So it's, you say, well, I showed up. I'm here. Come on. You know, give me some credit. That's true. But it's not just enough to show up. God doesn't want you just spectating. He wants you participating. Now, it's like people sitting at home on the couch watching TV, watching the football game. I heard it said this way. There's 100 million people on the couch needing exercise, watching 22 people on the field needing rest, right? I mean, that's kind of what that is. So it's not a spectator thing. God wants us to participate. It's not, I can't say to my wife, honey, okay, 30 years ago when we got married, honey, I love you. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say it at the altar and just know it. I'm not going to tell you for 30 years, okay? You just know it right now. It stands for 30 years plus. Just know it, you know. I don't need to tell you. I'm not going to tell you every day. How many of that's not going to fly? It's not going to fly. I believe I have told her every day for 30 years that I love her. And let me tell you, she wants to hear that, right? So God wants to hear our expressions of love. And so let me lead you in a close relationship with God. Look at James chapter 4, verse 8 that says this: come close to God, and God will come close to you. Now, that blows me away. Because when I come close, I don't have much to offer. But when God then comes close to me, I'm telling you, he brings it. All right? And so some would say that, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm going to wait on God. Well, He's already made His move. Right? And He expressed His love in a way that you never will. He let His Son die so that He could get close to you and you could get close to Him. Come on. So it's your move. It's my move. He's already made His move. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, let us draw near. Everybody say that, draw near. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Right? So for the next 21 days, I want to encourage you, join us in this prayer. It'll change your life. We had somebody actually come from our community, connect with the church here, and we started the 21 days of prayer. And this, I don't know how many 21 days back event that we this was. And she said, oh my goodness, she loved it so much. Now every morning she gets up and she spends that hour with God and spends time with God, and it just starts her day right. Let me tell you, I want to encourage you and challenge you. It'll change your life. They say it takes 21 days to create a new habit. And say, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, be a morning person for the next 21 days. Or at least find some place somewhere where for 21 days you learn the discipline of prayer, and then you'll discover the delight of prayer. Amen? And you can't get enough of it. And day 21 won't just be the end of it. That'll just be the beginning of it, right? And so it'll change your life. This thing of worship. Well, I'm just not that type of person, Pastor. Okay, I get that. But let me just encourage you. You don't have to worship like I do or your neighbor does. But get something going for him. Come on, do something. I mean, start it with your big toe, right, in your shoe. Nobody will see that. Start with your big toe. Let it work itself up to your foot. Okay? And in time, it'll work. It'll find its way on up, all right? You know, start. You know, you don't have to be doing like I do on the front row. Y'all saw me this morning. Whoop. Woo! Look, start with this. Just start right here. And if you're here, just bring it up another notch. Just one. I'm telling you, just God sees that. God knows that's for him, right? Come on. Give it for him. Can I get a good amen right there? Come on, right, how about right now? Try it out right now. It'll work. Okay. Another area that keeps us is tradition. Tradition. We've got to be careful with this one. Okay? And some of you think I hate hymns. I love hymns. I do. Most of the time when I'm in the car and you're not listening, it's hymns that comes out of my mouth. I mean, I could sing one right now, scared of the daylights out of y'all. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. You like that? No, you didn't. No. I wasn't after that. I love hymns. I love pews. I grew up, as they say, cutting your teeth on church pews. And I love stained glass. But here's the thing. You don't worship God with any method. You worship God. You worship him because he is the affection of your heart. You worship him because he is the affection of your heart. It's with your heart that you worship him, is what I'm trying to say. And you got to be careful that you don't adore traditions more than you adore God. That's called idolatry. Whether it's lights or whether it's hymns, it doesn't really matter. Right? It is not about those things. It is about worshiping and adoring God. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your, there it is, tradition? Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are nearly human. Hymns, stained glass windows, lights, shock and awe, whatever it is. Human rules. So what is worship? The question is then. Right? Well, that means I need to clap my hands and stomp my foot and then I'll be worshiping. No, that's not even what it's about. It's much deeper than that. So the question would be, what does God want? What does God really want? Right? So let's look at it. There's a beautiful psalm, the 50th psalm, that's really a prophetic psalm. So it's not just David speaking, it's God speaking through David, okay? And here's what is said here in Psalm 50. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer. Well, that's good, Lord, because it was your idea. You asked for those things, so I'm glad you don't have a problem with those. So, okay, thank you that you don't have problems with those. So then he says, but I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. So he said, I appreciate all that, but I really don't need that. I asked for those things, but that's really not what I need. Thank you very much. Thank you for that, but I really didn't need those. Because he goes on to say, for all the animals of the forest are mine. I actually already had those things, but thank you very much for offering them to me. And I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So all this is mine. In fact, I know every bird on the mountains and all the animals of the field are mine. I already got those things. I already got those. They're all mine. And he said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. It says, do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? No, God doesn't need that. So then why in the world is he asking for those things that he doesn't need? Then what do you not have would be the question. Worship is giving God something he doesn't have. You need to write that one down. Worship is something that God doesn't have. You say, well, that's not theologically correct. God has everything. Well, no, not so fast. No, he actually gave something away. It was his, and he could control it if he wanted to because he's God. But he took his ability to take it from you so that you would willingly offer it to him. And now that thing becomes worship. That becomes worship. Wouldn't you like to know what those things are, right? And so he gives these things to you. He says, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. There it is. Make thankfulness. Just be thankful. Be thankful to God. And then he says, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. So follow me. One verse says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Just follow me. Trust me enough to follow me. And then call on me when you're in trouble. And I'll rescue you and give you, and you will give me glory. So call on me. I want you to, when you're in trouble, call me. Don't let me be your last resort. Let me be your first response, right? Let prayer be your first response. Call on me. And then you will give me glory in doing those things. So let's look at these things. Let's give these last three things that will help begin us on this journey that I believe God wants us to take. And so let's give God what he wants. Number one, thank him. Write this down. Thank him with sincere affection. So simply thank him. That's simple. All these are just two words on these blanks, okay? Thank him with sincere affection. And that's the key, with sincere affection. So if worship is giving our affection, okay, so what does that mean? That means get on the growth track, get on the dream team. I need to tithe. I need to serve. I know I should have served. I need to do these things. No, it's not that. Let's simplify this. You know that orange thing that comes up every morning, that big old, it's called a sun? You know, next time that comes up, provided you're out of bed by then and looking, I mean, you need to say, hey, God, you made that. That is so awesome, God. That is amazing. I had a couple mornings in Florida where I got to get out and walk the beach and watch the sunrise every morning. I'm like, oh, how big is God? I always like to look at things and say, God, how big are you anyway? I mean, really. Appreciating him, thanking him for those things, right? I mean, when we go out to eat and I feed the whole family, you know, my son's employed now, but I still pick up his tab, you know. I just want to turn and say, Dad, you're great. You're awesome. That means the world to me. You know, thanks, Dad, for that diploma that you paid for. Appreciate it, Dad. You know, I mean, that hug at graduation is all I wanted. You know, right? Got a picture of that somewhere. Come on. I mean, don't you know that's how God feels? He just wants you to thank him. He did all this for you, right? He's with you, right? So begin to thank him. It's that love and respect of those closest to you. When your own kid looks at you and says, "Dad, you are the man." I mean, I like getting appreciated from you guys, but when it comes from my own family, hey, that's all I need. And God wants those that are closest to him to thank him. Say, "God, it's that you gave me that son. You gave me the breath that I breathe. I just want to thank you for creating me. God, I just thank you for life." So thank him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that the eyes of the Lord, they're looking. They're roaming, they're ranging throughout the earth. What are they looking for? They're looking for those that are in church, those that are serving, those that... No. Looking for those whose hearts have put God at the top of the list. Committed to God. He's looking to them so that he can strengthen them. And so, look at that. It's not just about church attendance, and that's great. It's about thanking him and being close to him. That's what he's asking for. Number two, and then those other things will follow. Church attendance is good. Good church membership is good. That's going to happen when you fall in love with Jesus. But that's not the goal. That's the byproduct. Okay? Sometimes we get that in our mind mixed up. All right? Number two, offer him the control of your life. So what that means is offer all of you to him. Right? So for some of you, you know, it might be that you're just showing up and you're checking things out, and that's okay. Check it out as long as you want. No pressure, but I would encourage you, there's got to come a time where you stop dating God and you walk down the aisle and you put the wedding band on and you say, "I'm yours." I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about giving your heart to him and saying, "God, I'm giving my life. I'm offering my life to you." Right? Romans says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And look, here's the kicker. Here it is. Wait for it. "This is your true and proper," everybody say it, "worship." That's what true worship is. And so we wake up in the morning, we say, "God, I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you my emails, I'm giving you my social media, I'm giving you the breath that I breathe, God. I'm giving you my job, my school, I'm giving you all my relationships. Lord, I'm giving everything to you. God, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give 10%. But God, really, that's just because I love you and I love the church and all, and I know it's what you asked for. But God, really, actually, you can have it all because it is all yours. It's just all yours. That's just an expression of my love to you, right? I'm just going to give everything I have. I'm going to leverage everything I have for you, God. I'm going all in. I'm giving you my all. You can have it all." So offer him the control of your life. Number three, include him in everyday life. Deuteronomy says this: "Do not follow other gods, the god of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God." It's the second time I've give you this verse, okay? Here's what he's saying here, and that is that when you go places, and God sees you going here and going there, God's saying, "I wish I could have come along. I wish you would have brought me there. I wish you would have taken me with you." See, sometimes we just want to visit him on Sunday morning. God wants more than that. He wants this to be a relationship where throughout your day, your activity, your job, wherever you are, he is with you. He's invited into the wardroom. Come on, he's invited into the marriage. He's invited into the bedroom. Hello, he's invited into the kitchen. He's invited into this classroom. He's there with you, right? And it's a relationship. He's walking with you, and So his worship is when you give God every part of your life. What does God really want? He wants us to give him our entire life. He wants us to give an expression of our affection to him. He wants me to offer myself to him in everything I do and all that I am and all that I have. He wants me. He really wants me. He really wants you. He just wants you to include him, to call on him. He wants to be more than your Sunday God. And so what is all this really saying? It's all summed up in one word. Write this down. God, what God really wants is relationship with me. He wants relationship with you. And so we could ask the question, where is God? Now, chances are you're here on a Sunday morning. He's on your list. But is he at the top of your list? Let me make this real clear. Salvation is not joining a church. It's not even becoming a better person. Salvation is when you order your list, arrange your list to put God on the top of your list. Romans says if we confess Jesus as Lord, we'll be saved. So I want to encourage you, let's start off this month getting God on the top of our list. We go into these 21 days of prayer. Let's reorder our life. Let's put God at the top. Again, a lot of this, this is talking oftentimes to Christians where we've just done that not so good exchange. Didn't do it intentionally, but it's happening. So this, I know it's been a challenging message. But we need to examine ourselves, allow God to examine us and say, okay, God, I'm telling you, if things are just out of sorts, this may be the problem. I want to tell you, God's greater than anything that you're facing in your life. He said, but my job, Pastor, if I could just get that settled. I'm with you there, buddy. I'm with you. Or, hey, if my marriage or my finances. Let me tell you something. God's greater than your job. He's your source. God's greater than your marriage. He's your answer. God's greater than your finances. He's your solution. When you put God at the top, I'm telling you, you put him first, he has the ability to bless the rest. I'm telling you, I'm giving you solid stuff right now. I hope you receive it. I'd like you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment. For those of you that just, you're dealing with this question, is God at the top of my list? And I want to help lead you in a prayer to once again put God as this on the throne of your heart, the top of everything. He comes first. He's your first love. When he's your first love, I tell you, everything changes. Everything changes. So you may be here today, you just have never even had a relationship with the Lord. Or perhaps you're here and you have had, but you know it's not where it needs to be. I want to gently just lead you in a prayer. I can't pray this prayer for you, but I'm just going to help you with the words. It's got to be your prayer. So you pray it with faith from your heart. So you can whisper it, just mean it. Whatever it's in your heart, but mean it. And I'm going to tell you, God will come in on the inside. He'll begin to put things in order, and your life's going to begin to really make a lot more sense. So if that's you today, say, Pastor, as you lead that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm just going to pray with you right where you're seated. If that's you today, you say, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in, Pastor? All I'm asking you to do, my eyes are closed and your heads are bowed. I want you to slip up your hand and put it right back down. Just want to let them agree with. Yes, over here. God bless you. Over here. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Good job. Thank God for his hand. Any others? Just say, count me in, Pastor. Count me in. All right, let's pray. And if you're here today, you need to pray this prayer, and maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer. Pray along with us. Here's what I'm going to do for support. I want to ask all of us to pray this together. So a person will feel the freedom to pray those that need to pray this prayer, okay? Let's pray this together. Just say this. Just pray something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I'm asking you to forgive me for allowing other things to be at the top of my list. I'm asking you to come into my life. Reorder my life. Be Lord of my life. Be first. Today I surrender my past, my present, and my future. I give it all to you. Forgive me for falling short, for my mistakes, and yes, even my sins, for following my way instead of your way. Today I turn from my way to follow you. Come on, say this. I give you my life. Come on the inside and make me brand new. I declare you today as my Lord and my Savior. I accept you now. Thank you for a personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for so many today that have committed their life to you, made the best decision in declaring you the Lord of their life. Now today I ask, Lord, you'd fill them with your Spirit. God, you would give them the power to live this out. God calls them, Lord, to follow you with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. God, I pray blessings upon them. I pray you guide their steps. Lord, help them with their next steps of following Jesus. Oh God, I pray for them, Lord. God, encourage them, strengthen them. Lord God, give them the peace of God, I pray, as they continue to follow you. And we thank you for blessing them as they put you first. Thank you for blessing the rest. Oh God, I thank you for it. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, cause us in these 21 days, Lord, to get closer to you. God, you're about to do something, I just know it, in an amazing way that we've never seen before this fall. And Father, I pray that you would cause us, Lord, to position ourselves in right relationship with you, that you'll be able to use us as a conduit to reach others and win many to you. God, we give you all the praise for all accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for many here today who made the best decision of their life. Amen.